This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Kelly Gramlich, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Pack. It's so good to be here.
What's happening?
Oh, man. I just was spoiled last night at the Packer house. Mrs. P making chocolate pound cake and putting some whipped cream on it. Oof,
it'll be so tenderloin.
Good. Yeah.
Potatoes.
Green beans. Got to get your greens.
Yeah, green beans. Got to throw some greens in it. You know, Mrs. P, I say she's the hostess with the mostest.
Oh, she is.
And so she likes, I said this yesterday to Mac, she likes it when people come to the house. Like, mm-hmm. She likes to cook and have everybody rocking and rolling. So she's like, well, is Kelly staying for the week? I said, no, she's here for one day. And then she's got to book it and get out of here to do the radio show back at CCP today. And then you're going to be tag teaming tomorrow from the house. But it's cool having you in the basement. You got the whole grand tour. You now don't know how this whole operation works.
I do. And it's quite the operation. Your house is kind of perfect for this situation. And I saw the whole
Otto's room,
whatever you would call it. Yeah.
The mind center, the brain center.
The brain. Yeah. It's incredible. This is so cool. And you've got so many great things in here. And it was fun just being the history nerd that I am, just looking around, checking out everything.
Yeah, I thought it was a little over the top when you were walking around in your Orange Bowl blazer.
Like a little too much.
Yeah, thinking you're Eric Palms.
Yeah,
going, hey, two of those, four of these, six of these, more coffee, please.
When I showed up in my Clemson football helmet, yeah. That was too much.
Went a little over the top, but it's okay. I respect that.
Okay.
As an alum, I respected
right.
That. We'll have a good time, though. Again, number is 844-SAY-ACCN. We've got a ton of stuff to get into. There's a lot of football news. There's a lot of basketball news. Unfortunately, there's some COVID news. We're going to throw, and there's some wrestling news we're going to get into. We're going NC State last night. And then we're going to throw a topic on everybody. We threw it on social media last night, and we'll pose that question for you coming up here in about 15 minutes. But Pat Narduzzi, head football coach of your ACC football champion Pitt Panthers, will join us coming up later this hour. And Seth Greenberg will join us in the Power Hour to talk hoops. And there's a lot of stuff going on that front. But first things first, before we get to hoops and football, Coach Pat was on yesterday from NC State, fifth-ranked wrestling team in the country, took on number one Iowa last night, and it was a duel. And they got down to the last two matches. NC State had the lead on number one Iowa. They unfortunately lost the last two matches, lose 19-15. But, Kelly, we've kind of gotten, with Wes and I, this whole Friday night duel with wrestling, we've kind of gotten into it. It's turned this into something. But the ACC's got four teams ranked in the top 21. And for NC State, great test against the number one team in the country last night. And they're legit, man. They had Iowa in all kinds of trouble.
Yeah, they are legit. They're going to be able to build on that, perhaps. We've seen some teams, basketball, football, you play number one team in the country, and then you can build on it even if you do lose. But we'll see that with NC State. And, Pac, you mean wrestling.
Wrestling. Right? No, it's wrestling.
Oh,
what
oh,
you and I grew apologies. Up with is wrestling off the top ring.
My dad
ring
still
rope.
Says wrestling.
Nature boy, Ric Flair, and that whole crowd. By the way, the next time NC State wrestling team partakes, and I saw this morning, they're in the thing called the Southern Scuffle.
I love that.
Isn't that great?
Why don't we have a Southern Scuffle Bowl?
That's what I was thinking too.
We could do a doubleheader, wrestling and football.
Yeah, the Southern Scuffle. How is that not like a nickname for a rivalry in the South?
Ooh,
right?
Yes.
Southern Scuffle.
The Southern
Roast
Scuffle.
Roast beef A&M against somebody. Right? The Southern Scuffle.
That's a missed opportunity.
But Pat Popolizio is a cool dude. We love having him on the show. A tough night for NC State on the hardwood and in the wrestling. But, man, that wrestling team's legit. They're top five. And, again, can't wait for the matches. And Virginia Tech's ranked eighth in the country. North Carolina and Pitt are 20 and 21, respectively. So there's your wrestling update. But the Southern Scuffle. I love just saying that. It's coming up next for the Wolfpack. All right, hardwood. I said yesterday, we'll start with the men, because you are going to break down the women like nobody's business. We'll start with the men. I said yesterday, we had four games, right, that this was the kind of night that the ACC just needs to sweep everybody, right? You're playing games that you should win. Pitt started this thing off yesterday afternoon against Jacksonville. They win by 9. Get back-to-back wins now for Jeff Capel. They knocked off St. John's over the weekend. So they're getting ready to jump in some ACC play. So for the Panthers, hey, it's been kind of a rough start. But, hey, you get the W, maybe some confidence. Down the road you go. North Carolina, if you were watching ACC Network last night, West Durham and the boys had to call in Chapel Hill. They come off a really kind of a disappointing game against Kentucky. Kelly, and they beat App State by 20, doing what they're supposed to do.
Correct. Yeah. Bouncing back from that Kentucky game, which was a struggle, but you get back home, you beat App, you handle your business, you don't have to be sweating it down the stretch. Right. Baycott was great, super efficient from the floor, as per usual.
Yep, 16-10, solid effort for North Carolina. Again, you got to get that Kentucky thing in the rearview mirror, get the win, you move on. Georgia Tech in overtime beats Georgia State. The Jackets have been kind of strange, right? Mm-hmm. The ACC, in some respects, a number of teams have been kind of strange. But the object's to win the game, which is a good thing. But, man, overtime against Georgia State, you got concerns for Josh Pastner?
Well, look, a win is a win.
That's right.
And you're only going to remember that they won the game down the stretch and when you look back at the schedule. And I think right now, and we're seeing this, we'll talk about it with NC State in a second, we're seeing some of these teams when you're playing a group of five, if you will, in college basketball, they've got fifth, six-year guys. They've got 23, 24-year-olds out there playing basketball, and they've been playing together for a while if they're able to avoid the portal. So I think that's why you've seen some interesting scores because of that extra year with COVID. We're seeing on the women's side, too. Some of these teams are just so old. And especially in men's hoops, where you have some younger rosters with one and done and things like that, if you can get old, then you have a chance to knock off some of the big boys.
Jordan Usher, by the way, went for 30 last night for the Jackets in the win. And then you had NC State. You know, you're looking for a sweep last night. You didn't get it. NC State, double-digit favorite at home. Get the reprieve from the NCAA in some respects. Only 1 year probation where that could have been a disaster. It wasn't. You can play in postseason. You're coming off back-to-back losses. No shame in losing to Purdue. The loss to Richmond here in Charlotte. Would like to have seen a W. Now you got Wright State. They come rolling in a 3-7. Pack a double-digit favorite, and they get beat by 14 last night at home. 14 for NC State last night. I can't explain it. NC State's a weird team.
They're a weird team, and when you look at Wright State, they shot 52% from the floor. That just can't happen. If you're letting another team shoot 52% from the floor, you are going to lose the basketball game. There's no way around it, and that's where you're not seeing the defensive intensity. Perhaps two losses in a row has affected them and affected the locker room in some way, but to your point, look, Georgia Tech beat Georgia State. They did it. I know it may not have been as pretty as we thought, but they got it done. This is the kind of team you just have to beat, Pac. You have to find a way.
Well, if you're going to go to the NCAA tournament, I mean, this has to be a layup. I mean, you can't. Pac's now lost 4 or 5. They had a 29-game home winning streak against non-conference opponents snapped last night. You got to get out of the funk. I mean, you just got to do it. 4 out of 5. Again, another L to a team that you're supposed to beat. Mm-hmm. So for Kevin Keats and company, that was not what you dialed up before the Christmas. And starting now to jump into ACC play. And like I said, there's so much unknown about the men's side. We'll get to the women's here in a second. But the men's side, we know Duke's really good. We know Wake's gotten off to a great start. We got games tonight like Virginia Tech at Duke, which is a fascinating game. Clemson's at Virginia. Kind of wonder if is Virginia going to show up. Can Clemson get a lead and hold it? I mean, so many question marks for so many teams in this league on the men's side, other than really Duke and Wake right now.
Right, and Wake, we'll see. Look, I think Wake's improved, but we'll see about their schedule and how that translates down the stretch. And you've got some teams that have always been good, at least in the past couple of years, like a Florida State that's fallen off. And it makes sense because you wondered how long Florida State could maintain what they were doing, losing guys to the league and graduation and all that. But it's teams like that, like a Louisville. What's going
Syracuse.
On? You need teams like that to be able to at least be maybe at the bottom of the rankings right now, higher up in the net to help the league.
Yeah, I mean, Louisville's got to get healthy. Luke Hancock was on with us yesterday. Malik Williams has got to get back in the lineup.
Yep.
They got to get some momentum. You know, we were so excited about watching Louisville and Kentucky. That game postponed because of COVID, which we'll get into with Seth Greenberg, heavier with all that front. But, you know, Syracuse, 5-5, a lot of experience. The Boeheim brothers playing together. Thought they'd get off to a quicker start. Yeah. Florida State's a really young team, as Leonard Hamilton pointed out, and maybe they'll pick up momentum. I hope they do. Virginia's been sluggish coming out of the gate. You got Clemson tonight. We'll see what happens there in Louisville. I mean, so those are teams that you've always just assumed, oh, they're in the tournament. Well, there's work to be done, right? And that's really been kind of the question mark for the ACC on the men's side so far. Is that, hey, we know Duke's really, really good. Wake's pleasantly surprised. North Carolina shows you signs. Virginia Tech's got potential. Then you got the teams that we expect, you know, the Louisville, the Florida States, the Virginias. And what are they going to do? So, again, I know it's early. It's December, but it's really not early. We're a dozen games into the season. We're starting to see some flags or some teams have got to figure it out and get hot. Now, on the ladies' side, much brighter picture, right? Six teams in the top 25. Ladies are getting it done. Louisville, NC State is expected at the top. Really, really good. Here's the scoreboard from last night. The league goes 4-1. Duke rolling, taking care of business. I thought they played great against South Carolina in the second half. Looked good.
They did. They didn't make shots early, which hurt them. And when you're playing a team like South Carolina, you have to push them early, kind of like Stanford did last night, even though Stanford still lost. Right. But I've been super impressed with what Kara Lawson's doing at Duke in her basically first year.
And Georgia Tech continues to play good basketball, too.
Georgia Tech, man. The amount of adversity they have overcome, losing both point guards, Fletcher and then McQueen, to the portal, they just keep rolling. Lili Love, you see on the screen, very talented sophomore.
North Carolina still undefeated. Buying the heels?
They're still undefeated, barely. They got past Boston College in a game that BC basically had wrapped up. And in their non-conference, they've blown out everyone. It was good to see them, again, back to overcoming adversity. That's what UNC did with us be fouling out against BC. I still want to see a little more against some of the bigger teams in the league. So I'm excited to see UNC when they play NC State and teams like that.
And speaking of Boston College, the hangover of losing a double-digit lead in the fourth quarter against North Carolina. They bounce back and beat Sacred Heart by 29, but they're supposed to. But that's another one of those kind of teams, right? I mean, the league is really deep and talented.
BC is talented. I did their Penn State game, and they blew out Penn State. It was a great showing, but at times they have turnover issues, and that was the issue against UNC. They had three turnovers in the final minute, and that's a game that Coach Mack is still thinking about that game, and I feel for her because she's still going to sleep at night thinking, oh, man, we had that UNC game won.
Taylor Soule, though, comes back with 22. She was kind of quiet in the North Carolina game, but she's a big-time talent, and you knew she was going to be back.
Taylor Soule is a baller and just a great person, too. Great interview. Love having her on any sort of show that I'm doing, but she is her motor in this league. If I say, okay, you need a rebound at this point, give me Taylor Soule. She'll go grab it. That's what I love about her.
What's up with the Tigers? Clemson lost last night. No loss. And listen, Dayton's really good, right? Talented team.
Yeah.
They lost to LSU, top 25 team. But a struggle, right? It's been hard.
The schedule that Clemson has played has been absolutely difficult. Playing LSU and Dayton and South Carolina, playing Penn State in the non-conference, playing Northwestern. It's been quite a who's who. It seems that they brought in some transfers. They just haven't gelled quite yet. And, you know, you need to now. It's December 22nd. You've got to find a way. Maybe Christmas break will help. But Dayton should win the A-10, and they, of course, lost to LSU, who's a good team.
Quickly, and again, we'll go a deeper dive with all the basketball stuff as the show goes on. But we know Louisville's really good. We know NC State's really good. There's four other ACC teams ranked in the top 25. Who is the biggest threat to NC State and Louisville?
Oh, man. Okay, let me counter. In a one-game situation or to win the league?
To win the league.
To win the league, Georgia Tech. I think Georgia Tech is going to be so solid night in and night out. The only teams that are going to beat Georgia Tech are going to be Louisville, NC State, and then maybe a Notre Dame or a Virginia Tech. In a one-game, one-off situation, I think it's Virginia Tech because how they can shoot the ball. If they get hot, especially against a team like Louisville that just isn't great offensively, but they're incredible defensively, I think Virginia Tech could do something crazy and knock off one of those teams. But Georgia Tech, with their consistency, is the biggest threat overall.
And Kittley goes for, what, 34 against Florida State? And they've got that, you know, when you've got that person who can just say, hey, I'm here to take this thing over, that's a problem with a one and done.
Peck, I don't think she broke a sweat. She had 34 and made it look like one of the easiest 30 burgers you've ever seen in your life. And she had 13 boards, four blocks. Kittley, can I give you a little secret here? I'm leaning away from my mic. Got to learn to not do that.
That's a real secret.
Kittley was my pick for ACC Preseason Player of the Year. And a lot of people picked Kunane. Our dear friend Aaron Katzman texted me afterwards and said, you voted for Kittley? I said, yeah, I voted for Kittley. Just keep an eye on her. She's looking like the player of the year right now.
And the Hokies, by the way, not one of the six in the top 25.
They were in the top 25. They dropped out because they lost at Liberty, which was a loss that you can't really explain. And they almost had Tennessee, but they didn't beat Tennessee, so they don't have that signature win. They're still a top 25 team. They'll work their way back in.
All right. So, I mean, we're really talking about seven or eight teams in the league that are legit ranked quality teams.
This league is so deep.
It's almost the polar opposite of the men, which is kind of strange. I mean, it really is.
You said it, not me.
No, I am saying it because it's the truth. I'm not going to sugarcoat this thing. The ACC's got one team ranked on the men's side with Duke, and they are legit, could win the whole thing. And you kind of wonder, all right, where's the depth going to come from? Who's going to emerge to create depth? The women have two teams that you'd say NC State and Louisville are certainly capable of winning the national championship, but yet there's another five or six that go, hey, don't forget about us.
Right. I would say you've got the Final Four National Championship group in Louisville and NC State, and then the Sweet 16 group, Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech, Notre Dame, UNC, Duke. All of those teams, I think, could possibly make a Sweet 16.
It's going to be fun. All right, here's the deal. Quick break. We come back. I'm going to pose a question to our audience, and you get a chance to partake. 844-SAY-ACCN. We've already got a crazy response on social media, but we're going to talk about the brand, the ACC football brand. One conference came up with an idea, and we're going to steal it next on Packer and Durham. Kelly, filling in for Wes. Guys, right here on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham, Kelly Gramlich making her debut here in the basement. Has had the grand tour, rolled into town yesterday. Everything's good. You're on tomorrow, but from your home.
Right? Correct.
All right, correct. So that's the deal. Now, here is what we're going to do. This idea popped up, compliments to the Pac-12 conference. I want to give them total credit on this, right? The Pac-12, earlier this week, came up with an alumni football council. And what the idea was to create ideas to make their football more relevant. Mm-hmm. So, first of all, I thought it was a neat idea. Second of all, we're going to steal it here on Packer and Durham. Third of all, we've asked last night on the social media front to come up with who should be on the alumni list, right? And you could go back through the history of the ACC and say, you know what? That person right there should be tied in to discuss how to make ACC football better. Now, here's what we're going to do. We're going to have some fun on social media with this, but we'd also like your phone calls. And the concept is this. What would you come up with to make ACC football better? What ideas would make the league better? That's what this council is going to do for the Pac-12. So we're going to kind of get ahead of the parade on the ACC front, Kelly.
I love it.
All right. Now, do you have an idea from an alumni standpoint of who would be good on this list? Or do you have an idea of what would be a good idea for the league?
Oh, I've got ideas.
Pat. Okay, go for it.
All right. This is an absolute no-brainer. And I saw someone on Twitter. I feel like we'll have the credit here, but they gave me the idea first, and then I thought, this is it. This is the answer, okay? It's that simple. Probably the most famous football alum of a current ACC school, he did not play in the ACC, but we don't care about that anymore because he's in the ACC, his school's in the ACC. This guy is
this a secret you're telling us now, or is this...
No, okay. It's not a secret.
You're connecting dots.
This guy is a global superstar. He is in movies. Oh. He is all over the place. I would check his Instagram followers. I bet it's like a bajillion. He has a tequila company.
Hey, he's in. I don't care. Say no more.
I knew Pac would
anybody
like that.
Anybody with a tequila company has got to be tied into
this. I knew Pac
would
like that. We're talking tequila at 7:20 in the morning. The Rock.
Oh.
The Rock is the biggest ACC alum, and I'll quote that because he didn't play in the ACC, but he played at Miami. The Rock is one of the biggest superstars on the planet.
Global.
And he played for one of your schools. If you could get The Rock involved, the opportunities are endless. That is number one, very top of my list. I don't care about these other NFL guys, whatever. We can talk about them. The Rock, you have to transcend. I think that's something that SEC football has done in many ways.
Yeah.
People who don't care about football still care about their school or the tailgate or whatever. The Rock is the answer, Pack. I'm sure you know him. You have him on
speed dial. I've met him.
You have.
I've interviewed him. At an old radio show on FNZ, we did Radio Row for the Super Bowl, and it was the year the Panthers made it to the Super Bowl. So when your team, your station, your team gets to be in the game, you kind of get the primo spot, and then they shove you the real celebrities.
The real ones. But big deal.
If you normally go to Radio Row in the Super Bowl and you're not that team, you're back on the 17th row fighting the last guys for the last hot dog, right? So The Rock, they said, hey, you're going to get The Rock. And I'm like, great, bring him on. And he is as great as you think he is. I mean, he's got a natural, gregarious atmosphere and attitude and aura about him when he shows up. He's fired up at all times. And, man, he's a big dude, man. That's a grown man.
He's huge. I mean, he's called The Rock. He has – Drew just said this in my ear. Shout out, Drew. 282 million followers on Instagram.
He'd be good.
just a couple more than UPAC.
And yeah, that'd be 282,000 million more than I've got.
That's insane. And if we're talking about elevating, I think, and I hate to sound like the millennial here, but you do have to do some stuff on social media. It's very important. If you could somehow get him involved, just one video a month or something, that would be incredible.
All right, so you got The Rock, which I kind of like that idea, even though you stole it. You stole it from somebody, but that's okay.
I need to find out who.
This whole topic was stolen from the Pac-12, so we can't get too confused.
Kimbala Evans, at Kimbala. She said, Dwayne Johnson would take the brand to a new level. Of course a woman came up with this. She knows.
Yeah, that's a good one. I got to be honest with you. I like that idea. How about a concept for the league? You got a concept that the league could use? Other than, hey, get better players, win more games. We want more teams in the top 20.
I think the biggest difference between, and if we're talking football, I guess we do have to talk
this is a football
SEC
deal.
Versus ACC here.
This is ACC versus the world.
Versus the world. But the SEC, I think the biggest difference is you have obviously the product, recruits, whatever. But the fan engagement and excitement over your given game, right? If you have... Yeah. And I'm not trying to pick on anyone. You have Virginia and Syracuse playing on a given Saturday. You'll have fans there, but it's not going to be...
An event.
An event. You have, let's say, Ole Miss and Arkansas playing on a Saturday. It's an event. So that's where I think you have to find a way to get fans more involved and the passion that you see on a daily basis every Saturday. And maybe that is having more things on site to hype things up. Because, look, if you tell me something... is hyped up, if you tell me something's exciting, I'm more likely to show up, paint my face, go crazy.
Yeah, you want to sample it. You want to be a part of something like the underground culture of, hey, I was here first. Mm-hmm. Let's be a part of something cool.
So somehow, and maybe The Rock is involved in this. We'll need to talk to him. But getting that fan engagement at a higher level at some schools that you don't normally see it. You see it at Clemson. You see it at Florida State. You see it at Virginia Tech. What we saw at Virginia Tech in the opening game against North Carolina.
Perfect.
If we can bottle that and replicate it elsewhere, that's the key.
Yeah, and you're talking about stuff that's up and above winning. I mean, when everybody's like, Wake Forest had one of those special years, and Dave Clawson's done a great job. But the folks in Winston-Salem are like, hey, man, you got to get a ticket to go see the Deacs.
Exactly.
He's like, you know, have you missed out? These guys are really good. They're fun. That's part of it. You got to create that excitement. There's no question. You know, my old buddy, Dan Hawkins, who's an old radio show guy with me on SiriusXM. He's now the head coach at UC Davis. Is a wonderful dude. And we were doing a radio show 5 or 6 years ago, and we got into recruiting, which I'm not into at all. I know how important it is, but he said, Pac, you know what? As a coach, he said, you got to have four kinds of guys when you're a coach. He says, you know, and there's a couple that you got to stay away from. He goes, you know, some guys you bring in, they're coach killers. He says, you don't want coach killers. He goes, then you got the middleman bag man. He called them middleman bad guys. He goes, the bad guys, you don't want those guys. He said, you got to get dudes. He said, there's like three layers.
Okay.
Dudes, you got to get dudes. But he said, what you really need to be great are creatures.
Creatures.
You got to get creatures. So you need creatures is one. Dudes is two. And then you stay away from the middleman bag man. And the coach killers. He said, you get the bottom ones you got to stay away from if you're going to put together a program. But if you get dudes and creatures, you can do something. That's a Dan Hawkins special.
I've never heard creatures.
Creatures.
I've heard dudes, Jimmies and Joes, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Greater than X's and O's.
That's it.
Creatures.
Creatures. He said, you got, if you're going to be great, he said, teams that are great in football have creatures.
Give me an example. Who was a creature recently in the ACC? Trevor Lawrence.
Trevor
just
Lawrence
on a different
a
level. He's a creature.
Kenny Pickett turned into
Kenny
a creature.
Pickett.
I mean, you're talking about on both sides of the line of scrimmage. You know, Jermaine Johnson this year, Florida State, turned into a creature.
Jordan Addison.
Jordan Addison's a creature. I mean, those are dudes that, you know, take it to another level.
Pac, I think Pitt's a good example of this.
Yeah.
Because Pitt, they've got their creatures. They also have dudes when you bring up, you know, Abanikanda, Lucas Kroll, whatever, guys that can go out there and contribute and play well every given night. And then as they kept winning, the atmosphere was getting better and better.
Right.
You see Pitt on TV. You see the students into it. You see different things like that. And it elevates Pitt, but it also elevates the ACC brand as a whole. But it did start with winning. It started there. At the very base of it was winning games.
That's right. You got to win. All right, so I'm going to throw that out there for you. 844-SAY-ACCN. That's 844-SAY-ACCN. We would be very interested in your response. How would you help the branding of ACC football? And from an alumni standpoint, who should be on the list? Again, we're stealing this directly from the Pac-12, so it's not anything creative on our part. There are a couple tweets, though, we'd like to throw on you. Some folks jumped on social media. Terry Martin showed up and said, incorrectly wrote Packard. Don't know who that would be. Maybe I don't know something. Somebody's going to replace me here shortly. But he said, easy. Packer and Durham. Nothing gets done until something gets sold. That is true. So that's an old axiom. Robert Lewis wrote in and said, Russell Wilson.
Yep.
That, he was speaking to creatures, that would be great. So the only ACC quarterback since Dirt to win a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm.
And that's where you transcend, too, because he's married to someone named Sierra, who's a big superstar, and then you continue to transcend even just the football space.
That's exactly right. Next one was a Navigator to the Wanderer.
Okay, can't help you on that.
Derek Brooks, creature. Work done, creature. Charlie Ward, creature. And Dr. Myron Roll, which is a great pick.
I wrote him down. Rhodes Scholar, neurosurgeon.
He'd be great.
He can help bring in the neurosurgeon demographic pack, which we know ACC football is lacking at this time.
But you know what? We got one.
We got one.
Not everybody can say they got one. We got
one. Where's your neurosurgeon?
That's it. Roger Keaton, real quick, and we'll get one more, and then we'll go to break and take phone calls, all the good stuff. 844-SAY-ACCN. Roger Keaton said Chris Long.
Yes.
NFL Man of the Year. Terrific call there.
That's a good one. And he has a great podcast. He's all over the place. I think that's a really good one.
Yeah, influencer, no doubt about it. All right, so there's where we're going. You now got a sample of where folks are coming up from an alumni standpoint, and what ideas would you come up with to help the ACC football brand? All right, that's the deal. All right, quick break. 844, you got the number. Say ACCN. When we come back, you're going to hear from the one and only Pat Narduzzi, head football coach of your ACC football champion Pitt Panthers. The gang is all here. Kelly Gramlich filled in for Wes. It's Packer and Durham. Guys on ACC Network.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Guess what, boys and girls? Next Wednesday, the Huddle will be live in Atlanta to preview the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl between Pitt and Michigan State. They're going to have highlights, breakdowns, interviews, everything else for the bowl games of the day between SMU, Virginia, you got Maryland, Virginia Tech, and, of course, Clemson and Iowa State. Coverage is from 7:30 to 8 Eastern and then from 10 to 11 Eastern right here on ACC Network and, of course, the ESPN app. Throw in there that Wes and I will also be there bright and early next week as well on Thursday. Rocking and rolling on game day. Should be fun. All right, so speaking of Pittsburgh, our next guest makes his 10th appearance on the program. He is also the head football coach of the ACC champs. And, Coach, I know that sounds great.
It does sound really good, and I appreciate that. And Merry Christmas to everybody there at the ACC Network and all our watchers out there today. We practice today. Get ready for that Peach Bowl, and then we give our kids a chance to go home, relax a little bit with their families, open up some presents maybe Christmas morning, then meet us in Atlanta, and then it goes down after that.
Coach, let's talk about that Peach Bowl. I know you're fired up. You're ready to play the Michigan State Spartans. How are preparations going so far?
Kelly, they're going really good. You know, we had finals week last week, so really up until this week, you know, we'll get three practices in this week. Prior to that, we really only had two practices prior. Just with a recruiting week, we were on the road, so the kids were here by themselves lifting, and they were throwing the ball on their own. Quarterbacks and receivers got together a lot, and then we practiced on Saturdays and let them get through finals week last week. And so we've heated it up, which is good, I think, in a sense. It seems like in the past you used to have a lot of bowl practices to get the younger guys work. And we got our developmental work as well done this week and, you know, during the weekends that we were able to get a couple practices in. But the big thing is we're going to be fresh for the game as far as our bodies go and our minds. I think sometimes, you know, bowl practices can be boring for the kids and they start to get bored with the game plan. I want to make sure they don't get bored with the game plan.
Coach, I'm going to ask you this from a selfish college football standpoint. man, I wish Kenny Pickett was playing. Man, I get it. I understand the decision behind it and so forth. And, you know, I'd love to see Kenneth Walker run, too, for Michigan State. I mean, as college football fans, we want to see the best players play, especially New Year's Day 6, college football playoff games. Walk us through the mindset of what you and Kenny went through to come to this decision.
Yeah, I mean, it's really Kenny's decision. And I'm like you. I mean, we'd all like these great players to play. No one understands the long-term effect of a season on these young guys. And Kenny Pickett, there's nobody that did more for Pitt than that guy. So I can't thank him and his family enough for everything they did for Pitt football, for me and for everybody in this football family here in the Durant Center here. He is a special, special kid. He'll never be forgotten. His legacy is set in stone here at the University of Pittsburgh. And, you know, I guess the conversation was really just like how he felt. He was going to go in that Senior Bowl, and there was a point where he wasn't sure if he was going to play in the Senior Bowl. But his people thought that was important to go down there and have a showcase. And he'll do an unbelievable job in front of all those coaches, you know, GMs, scouts down in Mobile, and then, you know, then the combine. So he wanted to prepare his body, and you understand. I mean, what else could he do in a college football game? He needs to go to the next level. It was a great decision by him, I think, and our entire team understands that. I mean, our kids are, you know, our kids understand. They love Kenny. You know, they know how Kenny played for us and what he did and how he acted every day. It's not a selfish move at all. It's a smart business decision that I fully support. Although we'd love to see them all play in these games too, but that's where we are. It's, you know, we'd like to have our cake and eat it too, but we can't.
Well, we still have a superstar playing in this game for Pittsburgh and Jordan Addison, who won the Biletnikoff. It's pretty incredible what he's done, Coach. And I feel like we've talked so much about Kenny Pickett, maybe not as much about Jordan Addison. Did you feel like he could have this kind of season going into 21?
Really did. He's special. You know, Kelly, we struggled to cover him in practice. I mean, he's a special football player. He's a special kid. There's not a, you know, when I look at Kenny Pickett, I look at Jordan Addison, I see really the same type of people there. And very rarely is your best players on your team athletically and competitively your best kids off the field. You know, we talk about having lists, and those guys are never on a list. Both their parents have done a great job of just making sure that they do the little things right. And Jordan Addison, you know, his mother, Keisha, you know, laughs and calls him bad words when she talks to me on the phone. Okay, Jordan, just so you know that. We'll find out if Santa Claus comes to see you. But I'm like, Keisha, you're dead wrong. That guy is, you know, I'll take that guy every day of the week.
I want to go back to your quarterbacks a second. I'm kind of excited to see now what happens. This is really a terrific preview for 22, what we're going to see at the Peach Bowl. And, of course, you had a big announcement regarding the transfer portal. That quarterback room is going to be fascinating in 22.
It really would be. You know, Nick Patty obviously is going to be the starter. And we got a lot of confidence and faith and trust in him. Our kids will play their tails off for him. They really like Nick. And again, you know, he's started games here before. He's played and he had a heck of a play against Virginia. You know, he's thrown 40 balls in a game, so we're not afraid to throw it with him. That's what we do. And that's what we'll do on the 30th of this month.
And what about Slovis? Just to add to the mix, again, you love competition, right? I mean, that's what it's all about.
No question about it. Now I just see his name back there. You know, I was so excited about Nick. Kedron is a super football player, a guy that we've been recruiting for a couple weeks since he went in the portal. I think we were his first phone call, and we just kind of hit it off. He's a super, super player. He's a greater young man. I think, you know, really the thing that sold him on Pitt was just, you know, our culture and what we're going to be able to give to him, as well as, you know, the competition that we'll have in that quarterback room now. So, I think he's got all the tools to really help us win a lot of football games as well. You know, and Nick Patty's same way. So there's going to be competition in that room.
Coach, we know how big the Peach Bowl is for anyone. I mean, anyone who's playing in this game. But give me some keys. If you guys are going to beat Michigan State, what is Pitt going to have to do on the field?
Well, I think we're going to have to play great defense. I think that's the number one thing. I think, you know, to win, you know, an ACC championship, I think that's what we did for three quarters. We were impressive, and we're going to have to do the same thing to win a Peach Bowl championship. I think, it starts with defense. We're going to have to stop the run. Even though Kenneth Walker is not there, they're going to try to run it. They got some outstanding receivers that we're going to have to stop as well. So our secondary is going to have to play well. And then on offense, we're going to have to throw the ball like we did. We got a Biletnikoff guy out there to the right, and we're not going to waste him. We're going to get him the ball. We're going to get Lucas Kral the ball. We're going to throw the ball around like we normally do, and we'll get our run game. We've got to get our run game going because we haven't had a whole lot of runs all year. But somehow, some way, we got to muster up some run game.
Coach, first time I ever met you, I was doing a SiriusXM camp tour, and we were in East Lansing, and Mark D'Antonio and his guys, and it's the first time I ever met you. It's kind of ironic. I hear you are ACC champs, and who do you get to see in New Year's Day 6? Michigan State. That's got to feel pretty cool, right?
It's cool. It's cool. Yesterday in practice, we played the fight song, and I was kind of like, you know, we try to, like, you know, fill our kids' heads with things they're going to feel on game day so it feels real. And that was weird. You know, that was real weird because you've heard it for 8 years up there all the time during the game they play it. So we want to make sure that, you know, I know their band will be playing it. But it's going to be neat. You know, I've got two coaches on that staff that I'm really really good friends with, Ron Burton and Harlan Barnett, worked a long time with. So they knew who I am. You know, I knew who they are. You know, it's funny, they run one of the same blitzes we do, you know, that we did back in the day. I texted Harlan yesterday. I said, how many times are you going to run that double A-gap blitz? He said, I was just going to ask you how many times you were going to run it. We're going to find out who runs it the most.
I think we're going to see it twice. I think we're going to see it all night long, both sides. By the way, on a serious note, we've seen a spike in COVID. It's really disrupted college basketball big time. Knock on wood, hopefully we can get through a bowl season without any disruptions. Doing anything different? I know there's a concern for everybody. Health, safety's got to be priority one, but any concerns a week out from kick?
You know what? We've always on alert, okay? I mean, ACC Championship Week, if I showed you the list of guys that were out, okay, we have our injury report, but it was about this big, okay, as far as, you know, hey, his ankle hurts, and then we had a illness report was about that long, whether it was a cold, the flu is what really was going around. And as I talked to a lot of coaches around the country, the flu was going, you know, around a lot of different locker rooms. You know, Ryan Day said, you know, they got hit with it. So that was, you know, we were scared. So we were in COVID protocols. You know, championship week. It was a mask on. We went back out to the indoor, which is the first time we've done it all year. So we were an indoor spread out just like we did, and we made it to the game. And Chris Hanks, our trainers and our doctors, get a lot of credit for, you know, just getting back into that mold and getting us to the game healthy and being able to win a championship. So we'll go into that same mode if we have to. Right now we're a healthy football team. We've met this week in our building. We've talked about how this new variant is kind of, you know, all over the place. It seems like it's again, sounds like it's not as severe as the Delta variant, but it's a lot more contagious. So, you know, the problem is this afternoon, our guys are going to jump on flights and go home. So we're really going to have to buckle up when we get down to Atlanta and make sure our guys are safe and we social distance down there and make sure we're washing our hands and being safe. So right now, no, because they're turned loose here in the next couple of days. So it doesn't make sense to, you know, tie them up real tight here and then, you know, send them on the road to see their families. We talk about protecting their families as well. I mean, you don't want to be here and let something happen and bring it home to your families. You know, Merry Christmas. That's not a very Merry Christmas. And then come back to your football family. So I can't believe it's still here a year and a half, you know, over a year and a half later. But it's something we're dealing with. And you know, we'll get through this just like we always do.
Well, first of all, we look forward to seeing you next week in Atlanta with all the shows being down there for the Peach Bowl. But the last question, we've been asking this to coaches for the last couple of weeks. For Pat Narduzzi, what is the ultimate walk-up song for you? Get you fired up, the whole, get you in the right mindset. What's the song for you?
You know, it's got to be what we come out of the tunnel with, Thunderstruck, AC/DC. Got to go with it. I mean, but, you know, that'd be the one. That'd be the run. And of course, the Pitt fight song. You know, at the end of the game, singing that one. I mean, those two together, you got to love that.
That's a good combo. Well, listen, again, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Congratulations on a sensational year. The ACC Championship, as I mentioned, we'll be down there with the shows. The Huddle will be down there next week. And again, Merry Christmas, and we'll see you next week.
Merry Christmas, and hail to Pitt. Thank you.
Hail to Pitt, Coach. You got it. Best of luck. Here is this, Pat Narduzzi. What a year, though, for Pat and for Pitt, right? Pretty cool.
Oh, no doubt. I wore my Pitt sweater today.
I know. You got the blue on, man. Looks
go
good.
Panthers. There you go.
What a year, though. And Pat goes to see his old boys at Michigan State. Again, we will all be there next week. The Huddle will be there. We'll be there doing the dog and pony. Should be fun. All right, quick break. We come back. Get you up to speed. We want your phone calls, too. 844-SAY-ACCN. We're branding some ACC football today. We're also taking a look at hoops. A little bit of everything on the program. Kelly filling in for Wes. It's Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham, Chester, sound asleep. Fuller, got a new best friend. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number. 844-SAY-ACCN. We do want to hear your ideas that what you'd create if you're part of this ACC football council that we're kind of stealing from the Pac-12. What would you come up with from a branding perspective? We got 10 ACC football teams going to bowls. First one starts Monday with Boston College taking on East Carolina. We'll get your ideas on that, and also the Alumni Council. We'll get in all that stuff coming up top of the hour. 844-SAY-ACCN. But Kelly, last night, kind of a mixed bag again on the hardwood. We talked about the men's side first. The disappointment was NC State losing to Wright State, and that is not going to help you when it comes to the NCAA tournament.
It is not. NC State already pretty far down in the net. You add that loss, especially a home loss, that's very difficult for the ACC in general. And NC State's another one of those programs, Pack, kind of a fringe program where they have a very passionate fan base. They're in the triangle with all those other great programs.
Blue Bloods.
They have the history, too. And you just that's a team that you need to be at least on the bubble fighting for a tournament spot.
Well, here's the thing that perplexes me. You know, this was an important week for NC State. They've been living with this cloud over right. their head with this NCAA investigation and the IARP. And, hey, just give us the word, good or bad. We just need to move forward. And to be honest with you, Kelly, I thought NC State got great news this week on the NCAA front where they're now allowed to go to postseason. It's not one of these things that anybody on this roster had anything to do with the Dennis Smith story from yesteryear. You know, the coaches had the show calls that were involved. That doesn't involve Kevin Keats at all. You basically kind of got a clean slate to say, guess what? It's off your plate. Now just go play basketball. Go win games, get in the NCAA tournament, try to win an ACC title, all that good stuff. And your first event afterwards is Wright State comes rolling in there at 3-7, and you get beat at home by 14. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just not the optic that you want as an NC State fan or for the league standpoint.
It's not. And let me say about the IARP thing. Sounds like AARP. It's really good that they did not punish the current student athletes because that I would have hated that. And we've seen some of that. These guys had nothing to do with the Gottfried era, with the Dennis Smith stuff. So I was so glad to see that, Pack. And to your point, right, you should see some momentum from that.
Right.
Okay, this was hanging over our head. Now it's gone. Let's go handle our business. And that just didn't happen for some reason.
Got to get to work. They're one of many in the league that got to get to work. Now, other than NC State, there was positive news last night. Pittsburgh, who's a team that's gotten off to a tough start, mentioned their big win over the weekend against St. John's in Madison Square Garden. They take care of Jacksonville. So if you're Jeff Capel, despite some rough spots, hey, team's starting to play with a little momentum, maybe some confidence here. Mm-hmm. You get ready to jump in the ACC play and see where it goes.
And that's big, too. You get that last win before you go into Christmas break. We heard Coach Narduzzi talking about his players going home. These basketball players, this is your last game before Christmas. You go home, and you just feel so much better coming back for that practice after Christmas Day, which, to be honest, Pack, is normally not a lot of fun. But it's a lot more fun when you're coming off a win. And Pitt's going to have to do it with defense. They're last in the ACC in scoring offense, but if they can hold teams under 60, they have a really good chance.
Yep. Last night here on ACC Network, if you were watching, North Carolina disposed of Appalachian State, as they should. And I guarantee you, that flight back from Las Vegas over the weekend, Oof. If you're Hubert Davis and staff, you're sitting there going, hey, who are these guys? I didn't even recognize them. Much better effort last night.
Well, and it was the lack of defensive effort against Kentucky that was so puzzling. So App State, of course, nowhere near Kentucky, but you hold them to 50 points. You play with a lot more energy. And if you're able to make shots, a lot of teams, if you make shots, then you're going to bring more energy defensively. You don't necessarily want that attitude, but it seems that's the way UNC works at times. And so that's a good win going into Christmas as well.
Now, Baycott again, solid, double-double, 16-10. He has really played well. And I really, until the Kentucky game, I was really buying North Carolina in terms of on the defensive side. They looked great against Michigan. They looked terrific on the road, winning at Georgia Tech. And you got a sense that they kind of found it.
Right.
And all of a sudden you saw the Kentucky game. You went, black jerseys, all that stuff. Who are these dudes? Mm-hmm. But last night was a little bit more like it. So I think if you're a North Carolina fan, You've had some good. You've had some bad. Like a lot of teams in the ACC, it's kind of like, well, let's kind of figure out what this, where this is going to go in January. I'm not sure. Still not sure.
This is still a young team. Young guards. You brought in the transfer from Oklahoma, still trying to gel. You have Bacot as your anchor, who, honestly, when he walks on the floor, he should have a double-double, and that's what he's been doing. But lots of room to grow for UNC. I still think their ceiling, well, the ceiling is the roof, but I still think their ceiling is pretty high.
And Love's been great, by the way.
Yes, he has.
I mean, he's been all ACC.
He made a great decision to come back.
Yeah, no question. Making a lot of cash there, no doubt. The other game was Georgia Tech last night in overtime, beat Georgia State. Josh Pastner, just like the North Carolina guy, just like the NC State conversation, there's been some good, there's been some perplexing. You're not exactly sure which direction you're going to go, but man, Jordan Usher last night was a bad man. 30 points, 11 rebounds, great night.
Usher is a baller. And to think that he was in some ways the third fiddle last year with how talented that team was, and you look at how he's scoring now. Georgia Tech is similar to a few other programs in the league where you got to get old and stay old. And so that's why they're struggling a little bit, just because they lost those guys from last year.
And DeVoe's been fantastic too. He's another guy who can just go off, give you one of those 25-point nights, and he's done it five times already. Here's what we got going on tonight in the league. And it's kind of interesting. We mentioned the fact that Virginia Tech and Duke, we'll get into this with Seth Greenberg, who will join us during the Power Hour. But Virginia Tech-Duke is really a marquee game. I mean, I'm still high on the Hokies. They've played a tough schedule, tough losses with Memphis and Xavier and losing at Dayton. There's no shame in that. Tough place to play, a good team. They've got the quality wins. They've given you a sense of, hey, there are moments where you watch Virginia Tech play, you go, hey, that team could be dangerous. I know Wake Forest beat them by 19 in Blacksburg. Again, a great win for the Deacs. But Virginia Tech at Cameron Indoor, they've not won there since 2007.
Wow.
07.
Wow.
But they've split the last eight times they've played. So take it for whatever it's worth. But Duke's been out of sight. What do you think happens tonight?
Well, Virginia Tech, they always play Duke so well in Blacksburg. And, of course, Cameron is a different animal. Virginia Tech is a really good defensive team. They're holding teams to 56 points per game, and you've got Duke, who's out here scoring nearly 90 on a given night. So it starts defensively. I think two of the most important things in college basketball in general, defense and shooting the three, that's what Virginia Tech does really well. They have to go in their pack, and I'll put the number at eight. I think they have to make at least eight threes in this game, and they've got to buck up and guard.
You better guard.
You better guard.
Especially
better
in that
guard. And Aluma. Aluma has to be big inside. He's got to play big against some of these bigs for Duke.
Clemson on the road to Virginia. Tigers are shooting the ball well. Virginia, again, another one of these teams. So we're going to finally see Tony Bennett's guys flip the switch and go. They've dominated Clemson. They've won 11 straight.
Pack, stop the presses, okay? Clemson is the best three-point shooting team in this whole league. That's incredible.
It's a bar bet.
That's not exactly what Clemson normally does. And Coach Brownell says this is his best three-point shooting team ever. Obviously, you guys know it starts with the three for me. So that's where I start looking at Clemson. If you can shoot the three and you can score, you can get Virginia. Now, you have to make threes against Virginia, especially in Charlottesville. And that's been a little bit of a house of horrors for the Tigers back. So I'm not guaranteeing a win by any means.
No,
but I think this is the most winnable spot in Charlottesville that Clemson's been in a while.
2008, last time, the Hoos lost at home to the Tigers.
We could see a lot of history.
Yeah, there's some, not necessarily since Dirts, but there could be some streaks snapping tonight. Texas A&M, Corpus Christi, they're at Notre Dame. Mike Bray's guys should roll there and take care of business, and you're good to go. Again, phone numbers, 844-SAY-ACCN. We emphasize that again, 844-SAY-ACCN. We're putting together the ACC football brand, right? What would you do to enhance the league from a football perspective? And as far as the council goes, who should be on the list? We had some great responses on social media. We'll share those with you. We'll take your phone calls and all that good stuff. So you got the number, 844-SAY-ACCN. The pre-Power Hour is coming up next. Kelly, of course, filling in for Wes. You know what we're doing. We're building a brand, and we're stealing from the Pac-12, who's actually doing this Alumni Football Council. We're getting all to that. Number coming up here, hour number two, next, right here on ACC Network.
Packer and Durham.